It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. We have another exceptional show for your viewing and listening pleasure. If you're watching us on Facebook, remember to like us and obviously follow us. And if you're on YouTube, please subscribe. And it means so much to, you know, give me your feedback. If you see something during the show, you think about, you want to get involved, or if I'm inspiring your life or motivating you, or you know someone making a difference, send me an email at todd@toddleonardshow.com. This morning we have the McDonald's, Chris and Jim McDonald. These wonderful folks right here in Morris County been making a difference for many, many years. They're very active in the Interfaith Food Pantry, feeding the hungry. What's more important than that? And this year, they've been honored. April 21st, they're going to get a very prestigious award. Neighbors Helping Neighbors. When I heard about that, I'm like, you know something? On the journey of giving back, these are the kind of people I love to have on. So good morning, Chris and Jim. Thank you so much for coming.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
Yeah, you know, Chris is battling a little laryngitis, but, you know, I appreciate you got your water there and you're going to be fine. Before we talk with you great folks, I just want to, you know, say I'm praying for my great friend Frank. Frank hasn't been feeling well recently, and I know he's in the hospital. A lot of people are praying for your speedy recovery. So for the family of Frank and all of great friends, we love you and we want to see you back on your feet. So Chris and Jim, you know, on the journey of giving back, I like to explore the lives. You know, what made you guys decide to give back? And I think it's important for all of us to understand, you know, your lives, we're all busy, and kind of where you were in life, what made you decide to give back and make the world better. Because on the show, on the journey, I like to explore that. So I want both of you to kind of like talk a little bit about where you're from. I know you live in Chester now. Chris, where were you from originally?
The Chicago area.
Chicago.
Jim and I have known each other since we were 11 years old, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
Long enough for her to know better.
Actually went to college together in Indiana.
Hoosier country.
Hoosier country.
Yeah.
And 10 years after we graduated from college, Jim was working at Merck in North Wales, PA. And I had interviewed with Merck in Denver. And so we were at a college reunion and we, you know, kind of met up again. And it's been, I don't know.
She was able to come out to Pennsylvania from Colorado, and the rest is history.
So, wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah, you know, I've had another great, you know, husband-wife on The Color of Smile. And it was a while ago. I don't want to put people on the spot, but I'm always curious, you know, since for the viewers and listeners, basically, you know, how people fall in love. And you guys have been married for how many years?
Just celebrated 40 years.
God bless you both.
Years.
Wow, I'm going on 10 soon. So
got a ways to go.
I have a ways to go indeed.
So a great journey.
Yeah. Well, I know in getting ready for the show that, you know, Jim, you're an accomplished pharma guy. You've been in pharma for a long time. How'd you get involved in pharma?
So that's an interesting story. So I did a degree in my background is toxicology, and I heard about this job at Merck. I honestly wasn't really interested in it. I had heard about Merck for a long time, what a great company. And so I came out to Pennsylvania. I was in Nashville, Tennessee. I came out for an interview thinking, well, this will be sort of interesting. I just want to see what it's all about. They made me an offer. I turned it down. Fortunately for me, they came back 6 months later and still made the offer. And it's been just a wonderful ride. It satisfies everything that I am interested in. I'm a scientist. It's an opportunity to use your science to do something novel and help people, most of whom you'll never meet. And bringing new and innovative medicines forward. So it's been over 40 years. So 31 years at Merck and then sharing plow, and now 10 years plus in the consulting.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, our new neighbors, they've been, you know, across the street. It's ironic, neighbors helping neighbors. He helps me more than I help him. But my friend Justin has been with Merck for years, the German Merck, and he's all over the world doing his thing. But he's a wonderful guy, but he's also a scientist, and so is his wife. So It's kind of interesting in terms of just like your work experience when I heard you had a background with Merck. And, you know, Chris, also, I obviously you have a teaching background. You were involved in education, right?
Well,
so tell us about that.
I started out, my degree was in education. And at one point I decided, I mean, we're starting to get into pharmaceutical sales, and I had been in nursing school before I was in education. So I thought I had a background that was suited to that, you know, educating and science and everything. So I actually worked for McNeil Consumer Products in Denver. And then when Merck expanded their sales force, I interviewed with them. So at the time that I ran into Jim, I had interviewed and knew that I was going to be coming to work for them. So they would bring me back for trainings and things, and we'd spend time together. And then once we started having kids, it was, you know, there weren't a lot of teaching jobs out there. It was hard to balance the pharmaceutical rep's life. So I stayed home with the kids for a while. That's kind of where I got involved with volunteering, because through the schools, I started with another woman, started an educational foundation to bring private monies to the schools, different from the money that PTA would raise, because that was kind of for funding. When we started out in Chester, they had one computer in the whole school district. This is 98, so it was a matter of raising funds, getting private donations and things to really bolster the schools. So I went from, you know, kind of back and forth between the drug field and the educational field.
Interesting. And just to go back, how you guys, you know, fell in love and got married. Did you know Jim right away once you guys reconnected that she was going to be your wife?
I knew right away that this was an interesting person. There was a bond there from the time we knew each other in junior high school, if you can believe that. So there was a bond there. And we had both had lots of experiences in our lives, and I just knew that this was a force to be reckoned with. This was a wonderful person, and I did know that I wanted to spend.
Well, let me just say, like, that was a great answer, because I'm a senior, came in the same car, and she probably won't let you drive with her if you need an answer. That was an outstanding answer.
Oh.
Hopefully your kids and maybe grandkids are listening. So.
From the heart.
Well done. Well,
they've
well,
all heard
well
the
done.
Story.
Well done. So, you know, perhaps it'll be a nice
You did set me up, Todd.
I set you up. Sorry. You're like, oh, my God. I came on. You know, neighbors helping neighbors.
That's
what kind
right.
of host?
What kind of help is that?
What
right?
kind of host is this? So, Chris, I won't put you on the spot, but I'm sure you felt the same way. So one of the things that is always interesting is, you know, people's lives, the journey, and what made you both decide that you wanted to start to give back? So I can tell, Chris, from some of your answers already that you felt the need, you wanted to help others. And it sounds like, you know, you had a busy plate, you were doing a lot of different things. You got involved in education. So why did you think it, a long time ago, actually, that you wanted to start, you know, helping others?
Early on, this goes way back, right after college, I moved to California. And I was living in Santa Barbara, and I was teaching special needs children. And I always knew that when I left that classroom at the end of the day, I felt better than when I came in. And I realized that spending time with people who had different experiences in the world made a huge difference in my perception of my reality.
Yeah, so I mean, not to get overly introspective, but I know people have different gifts in life. Did you know something in your heart when you were helping folks with special needs? Did that appeal to you in a way that you didn't know until you did it?
Oh, yeah. It was the only job I could find, you know, and it was like I graduated from college, moved to California, and they needed somebody to work with special needs kids. And I thought, I can do that. But it gave back to me so much more than I gave to the job. And, you know, you said you did work with Special Olympics.
Yeah.
And you really feel that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I miss
maybe
it.
Maybe that
yeah.
doesn't speak to everybody, but it did to me.
Well, you know something, too, on the journey giving back, I do the shows. Not only do I love to meet wonderful people like you, but also to inspire, to motivate for someone to maybe make a difference in other people's lives, because it is important to pay it forward and give back and make the world better and help others, especially those in need, because you should really count your blessings. I know that sounds like a cliche. Jim, from your perspective, when did you start to realize that I think I need to do more to help others?
So there's a couple things that are important. So I like Chris, I feel really blessed. I've had just amazing opportunities in my life. And early on in my life, I confess, I wasn't really thinking about giving back. You're busy, you're raising kids, you're active in a career, you're developing yourself. But it became clear to me that there's more to what I was doing. Honestly, the inspiration was Chris. She has really provided the leadership in our family for me, and I think for the rest of our kids, to show two things. Why it's important to be a part of your community and to give back, to use the advantages that you've been able to have in your life to help out your community and help people who don't have the same opportunities. But secondly, and importantly, and it is a cliche, it is trite, but you get back more than you give. And so seeing that with her, watching her, seeing how that happened, I became much more involved. And it's become much more of a part of my life now, thinking about how to give back and how to do other things. It didn't start that way, but it has been a good evolution.
Yeah, but you know something, Jim? I think we're all, if you have a career, you have a family, you have obligations. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beauties of life is sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that, but at some point, I think you become more fulfilled if you find the time, even a little bit of time, just to do something to help someone else. Mm-hmm. Now, another reason why you're going to have a nice ride home, your wife has inspired you.
And, she has.
And let me ask you this, you know, because it's a beautiful thing to say about your wife. And that was something I wanted to explore as well. So, Chris, how does it make you feel? Your husband just, you know, said that, you know, you've inspired him and other folks.
I mean,
in the
I think it's wonderful. He could have gone the other way. But I feel like, you know, during that time that we were raising the two little ones, we have three kids. Our one daughter is older than the two younger ones. And so during the time that was really active parenting with the two younger ones, our roles were really split. And so I had the time to be able to get involved in these activities. And Jim was, you know, the breadwinner. So, you know, but then, you know, he would come in and help when he had time or when there was a special event or something. And then, as you know, once he retired, he had a lot more time. So we were able to do a lot more together doing this. Right, but anyway, it was a wonderful.
Yeah, well, I hope you're going to say made you feel good.
You that, set her up.
Listen, Jim, you had a few hardball questions. That was in golf. We put that right up on the tee, like getting ready for the Masters on the opening day. Even you would hit that ball in the air a little
bit. Right down the fairway.
Yeah, straight down Broadway, right. And, you know, just because college basketball, I don't know if you followed.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know if you saw the first game last night in the Final Four.
Oh my gosh.
Holy snake bites, man. Yeah, that was one doozy of a game.
I don't know. Was San Diego State ever in the lead before?
They were down by a lot, and it's just the basketball gods didn't shine on, you know, the other team. It happened.
Basketball gods certainly didn't shine on my bracket. So now it's just pure enjoyment watching college basketball.
Yeah, I have another friend who was like the most banana Miami Hurricane fan ever. I mean, he's a grown man, and he is like off the charts. I mean, like in Banana Land. I won't mention his name, but he's a great friend. But I was like, I almost felt bad for the guy because, you know, how often you get to the final game, but it'll be a good one. You know, San Diego State, and you have the UConn, the Huskies, yeah. And the Hurley family was on. You know, it was cool to see the father and the sons, and Coach Hurley from St. Anthony's.
It's a great story.
Yeah. Right. Wonderful program too, of great pedigree and legacy. So, you know, Chris, when I was going through all the different hats you've worn, you've been involved in a lot of activities before you really got involved in the Interfaith Food Pantry. And, you know, I've had Carolyn Lake on Nathan Umbriak and Margaret Mack Boehm is one of the recipients, a client of the Interfaith Pantry, Interfaith Food Pantry. And they were so wonderful. And when I had them on a few years ago, I was like, wow, what a wonderful thing. But it also was an eye-opener, because living in Morris County, one of the most affluent counties in the entire country, you would never believe folks don't have enough really food. There's families that are going hungry. Before you got involved in the Interfaith Food Pantry, where you led, you know, by example, Chris, you were involved in the women's clubs, the PTA, so many other things. And I was thinking to myself, well, that was cool. It set the foundation. Did you know when you were doing those other activities that you were going to start to get involved and help feed the hungry?
I actually, I heard Bono say back in the early 2000s, what are you going to tell your kids when they ask you what you did about the AIDS situation and coming out of the pharmaceutical industry? This is going to be a long involved.
We have a long, well, you know, if you may recall, it's an hour show. So
I thought, you know, I came out of the pharmaceutical industry. I have a lot of contacts there. And Bob Frank, the late Bob Franks, was the head of Hinge at that time, which was the Healthcare Institute of New Jersey. So I called up Bob Franks and I said, you know, what are the New Jersey-based pharmaceutical companies doing for AIDS? And he said, well, that's a good question. I really don't know. So I was like, well, you know, if you would like to help, I'm willing to donate my time, you know, to go to these companies and find out what they're doing. And so we worked together for a couple years. And then their focus changed and I kind of backed away from that. And at that point, I thought I wanted to get involved in world hunger. But if it came down to day-to-day volunteering, I knew that wasn't realistic. So I thought, well, there has to be need in the community. So we used to donate our turkeys every year to the Interfaith Food Pantry. So our middle daughter had gone off to college. Our son was at Mendham High School. I thought, well, you know, he and I could spend some time together volunteering. It would be interesting for him. So I called Rosemary, who was the former director before Carolyn. And Rosemary turned me down. She said, you won't come back. He's not going to do it. And I said, I think he will. So we did these scout tours. We did school tours. And he's not a very vocal person at all. So, but he was able to help me when we sorted food, lifting boxes. And so he went off to college and I stayed on. And that was kind of the beginning of how I got involved in the interview.
Well, it's a blessing.
I told you it was kind of...
No, listen. And you know, though, but that's, you know, this is one of the beauties of life, too. The different paths and how people kind of get involved and how one thing has, you know, a ripple effect. You know, you make one decision and then you end up going in another direction that you don't even realize. Or someone comes in your life or out of your life.
Yes.
And sometimes you don't understand until the years go by that it was a blessing they were in your life. Or sometimes when people leave, it's a blessing, too, as hard as that is sometimes.
So, yeah, one of the things that you mentioned that I think is important for your listeners to understand is you don't jump into this thinking about how you're going to solve world hunger. It's an evolution. Now you might be really fortunate and have some kind of a role like that, but it's an evolution. So you start slow. You look what's needed in your local community and your neighbors and see what you can do with your interests and you get started and then,
and your talents.
Yeah, right.
Well, this is the other reason. Well, there's a multitude of reasons why not only do I love the show, but it also just puts the spotlight not only on wonderful people like you, but there's so many different things available to people to use their gifts. I know that also sounds like a cliche, but everybody has a gift out there. Everybody has an opportunity that basically you should use it for the good. To make it better, you know, it's really important to figure out what you're good at because everybody's different. You know, some people are good talkers. Some people are builders. Some people can solve problems. Some people just want to make a difference with their financial gift. They have money to help out, right? Or sometimes you just need to say something nice to someone. It could be as little as that, right?
Absolutely.
But right, you got to find where you fit in. That's all. Because I know, like, I'm not going to be a builder. I mean, like, we at the Mars Habitat from Humanity, wonderful people. If I was swinging a hammer, it would be really dangerous, okay? I could carry some stuff. That's not a problem. But it's like, use that as an example. Or, like, someone loves sports. Maybe you could be a coach of someone with a disability. Or maybe you have a great intellect and you can help someone learn how to read or help solve a problem. So there's so many different programs available. So in terms of the Interfaith Food Pantry, I know they've grown over the years, but I also know the backbone of the organization are the volunteers. The volunteers, right? So, Chris, you've been involved in the Interfaith Food Pantry since 2005. It's a long time, and I know Jim since around 2010 or so. But you guys have been doing so many wonderful things. When you got involved, Chris, in 2005, a little retrospection, did you think in 2023 you would still be so involved?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The old, I don't know if you know where the old Interfaith Food Pantry was. It was in the basement of the old Morrisview Nursing Home on West Hanover. And our client, I mean, there was no dignity at all for the clients. I mean, we didn't have nearly as many as we have right now. But they had to stand outside. You know, a lot of them had babies, the rain, the snow, the freezing cold, you know, boiling hot. every piece of food had to be handled by hand because we couldn't use a forklift. We couldn't use pallets. So building that new building was a game changer.
Where's the new building located?
It's in Central Park, on the old Greystone property.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it's what. But you just said something, Chris, about the dignity because, you know, folks that need a hand up, not a handout, a hand up, okay? They should be treated with respect and dignity because anybody could be in that plight. And that's also part of the human condition, right? You never know when things could change. And sometimes horrible things happen to people, really great people, and they need a hand up.
COVID was a great example of that. I was doing intake from home because we got so many new clients because, you know, all of a sudden you had people who were out of work and it was before the government programs kicked in and everything. I remember calling this one mother. She was a single mother of a preschooler. She was making a six-figure income, but her bills, you know, were based on that six-figure income. And so once that was wiped out, she still had to make the car payment. She still had, I mean, she was crying on the phone, and you just realized that happened overnight.
Yeah, I mean, that's some the calamities. I mean, that would be an unfortunate but a perfect example.
Yes.
In the world of COVID, a lot of lives were turned upside down. And that's what the viewers may not realize and the listeners,
yeah,
that it could be anybody. And especially here, right, in affluent Morris County, folks don't have enough money to get their food on the table for them and their family.
So they may be driving a fancy car, but they may have a lot invested in that, and they may have lost a job, and if they don't keep making the payments, then they lose that, their mode of transportation.
So just to embellish that, one of the things that I enjoy about the food pantry is the interaction with the clients face-to-face. I don't get to do that very often, but when I do, I will occasionally get feedback from somebody, and I distinctly remember this one woman who came through the line, and she was just sort of bewildered, and she looked at me and said, you know, last year I was helping out at Homeless Solutions and referring people to the food pantry, and now here I am, I'm in line. But the important thing she said to me was, I'm really looking forward to being able to get back on my feet so I can be the one who's helping out here next year. So it just is an example of how stuff happens. And, you know, that's why the food pantry is such a great place to help people out that are experiencing those tough challenges.
Right. And but this is the other thing that we all have to realize. It's not just in Morris County, which is extraordinarily wealthy, but it's all over New Jersey and throughout our country. There's so many folks going hungry at night. And sometimes people are too proud. They don't want to say, look, I need help. But there are so many wonderful organizations available. because there is a stigma attached to it. But this is another example, like the mental health crisis. It's kind of the same kind of concept. Obviously, mental health is, people are sadly taking their lives, and it's killing the society, but which is, you know, obviously beyond tragic. And people not having food on their table is also a tragedy. How do you feel, Chris, when you're taking the intakes, right? And you're realizing these are like folks I know or I've come in contact with, and now they have nothing to support themselves.
You just want to help them, you know? And one of the points I wanted to make about, you know, it's not just hunger, but it's nutrition, because calories are cheap, but nutrition is expensive. So they go into a store. The things that they can buy inexpensively are junk food. And so, you know, you see people who don't have good access to nutrition, and they may be overweight. They may be in bad shape. But, you know, it's because of those foods that have been accessible to them. So that's a whole nother area that we've tried to address at the food pantry.
Right. Well, so you're saying not only are you feeding the hungry, but you want to give them healthy choices.
Exactly.
Because I do think diet is important. I mean, even in my own life, I know if I eat healthier, I feel better. It's just, I mean, you know, you take it for granted, because some of the comfort foods people, you know, there's no disrespect to the pizzerias and the fast food place, because everybody stops off there from time to time. But if you have a steady diet of that, it's certainly not healthy for you. So
in
those calories.
In cities, they only have access to bodegas, you know, which is nothing but junk food.
Right.
So one of the things you mentioned that that I wanted to bring up about the intake, about how you get aware of the needs in your community. So it is also how I got much more interested in the food pantry when Chris was doing this intake. This was before COVID, but she'd come home, she'd do it on Tuesday, and she'd come home at night. We'd have dinner Tuesday night, and I'd hear these stories about these people that were just having this, you know, very difficult time for no fault of their own. It's not because they didn't work hard or try. And you're thinking, that's just somebody that could happen to us. It's the next door neighbor. It's a thing that we can really do something about.
And a lot of low-income people may be working 2 and 3 jobs, but it's not a living wage, you know? So they're trying to kind of cobble together enough to keep their families afloat. And so that's a whole, you know, it's basically the working poor.
Right. So that's the other misconception.
Yes.
Is people like, oh, my God, they're going to the food pantry because they're not working hard, or they're not putting the effort in, or they're drug addicts, or they simply don't care. They're just out for the handout. But as you just said, Chris, that's not true. These are folks working sometimes 2, 3 jobs,
yeah,
right? These are the working poor that are basically a little bit above the poverty level, so they don't get other things. And they're in that little area that there's really no safety net, but for organizations like the Interfaith Food Pantry, which is truly a blessing. I mean, there's no question about that. One of the things I read in preparation for today is you get backpacks out, right, for the kids. Chris, can you talk a little bit about that? What's that feeling when, let's say, a client comes and you're going to have a backpack full of stuff?
Oh, so the school backpacks.
Yeah.
We do 2 different things with backpacks. For our kids, we do weekend backpacks full of food. For the school backpacks, it's such a wonderful thing because we get all these school supplies and backpacks donated. And pre-COVID, and then once we get... We have a building campaign going at the pantry now. But once that's done, we'll go back to this. So the kids come in and there's bins of backpacks and they get to pick out the backpacks they like. The little ones just go
crazy. What's the look on their faces?
Oh, the girls, you know, their faces light up, they twirl. The little boys are laughing. You know, maybe Pokemon or something. And then they get kind of go along and shop and pick out their school supplies. So,
right.
The high school kids, they don't want any part of it, you know.
Right, but the little young, small core, yeah, they got to be cool.
Yeah.
So listen, we're going to take a short break and be back in 30 seconds with the McDonald's.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Thank you for coming back. We're with the McDonald's. They're going to get the Neighbors Helping Neighbors Award on April 21st through the Interfaith Food Pantry, a wonderful organization. And one of the things, Chris, we were just discussing is basically the working poor. I know there's an acronym called ALICE, which is important for the listeners and the viewers to understand. What is ALICE and why is that important in your life and your husband's life?
ALICE was developed by the United Way of Northern New Jersey, and it's now being used across the country. But it's looking at what it costs for a family to sustain itself in the area that they live in, because the federal poverty guidelines, the cutoff is $37,500 for a family of four. In Morris County, you can't do anything for $37,500. For a family with both parents working and two preschool-aged children, I haven't seen new ALICE numbers, so these are outdated. It's $102,000 to be able to make their ends meet with childcare, food, housing. Housing has gotten really, really high in Morris County.
Can you define ALICE for everybody?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's important. ALICE is an acronym. It stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. So basically, they're people who are working, but they're not making much money.
Right. And that's, and Jim, you put her on the spot, but she, I have my notes here. She passed the test. Yeah.
She gives this lecture to our friends who talk about the food pantry, who don't really understand what life is really like in the community. And they say, well, you know, why don't they just go get a job? And then defines for them what ALICE means. And it's very impactful.
You know, I was thinking about ideas of how to really convey what it's like not to have enough money to feed yourself and your family. Because there's sometimes it's weird. Like, you know, I'm looking back in my life where maybe, not because I didn't have the money, but I just was busy or I had no food in the refrigerator. And I was trying to think of like what that would be like to try to explain to the listeners how serious this really is for folks that don't have enough money and don't have the wherewithal. And that's why organizations like the Interfaith Food Pantry, you know, you also came up with We've Got Your Back school supply programs.
And that's what we were just talking about.
That's cool to say.
So early on, actually, when we started the capital campaign to build the facility that we're in now, I had some friends in the corporate world. We had corporate partners that we were already working with. So we gathered them all together, and we've been working with them ever since. And we're always looking for ways to engage corporations because we find the corporate employees are phenomenal supporters and phenomenal workers. The idea for We've Got Your Back came from one of our corporate partners, and most of our corporate partners get involved in gathering the school supplies and providing for the backpacks, raising money so that we can make that happen.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's another example of some of the big corporations, some of the biggest corporations in the world are headquartered right here in Morris County. I mean, there's some heavy hitting corporations, but they're also giving back. So kudos to the corporations.
And I can tell you my experience with them is those volunteers that come from the corporations are some of the most enthusiastic people. When they get into the lines and they meet these clients and they understand what it is they're doing, because they too don't have any idea of what's going on in the community, and they see these people coming through the line and say, they look just like me. You know, that woman with that kid looks just like my neighbor, or it could have been me. It's just a real awakening, and it inspires them. It's a great way to get involved.
Jim's talking about we volunteer at the Friday farmers market. So we give away free produce every other Friday. But
where is that located?
It's at the pantry.
The pantry.
They drive through. And we have corporate partners come in and staff it and everything. So our regular clients can come in. They come in once a month for food at the pantry. And a lot of that is shelf stable stuff, but they're getting more and more because we're gleaning a lot of food and getting donations from Wegmans and Acme, different food chains in the area that would have thrown this stuff away. But New Jersey passed a law saying that, you know, they can't throw food
away. Well, I think it's a great idea. Yeah. I have to say, the legislature people bash, but that's a good law. For the listeners and people watching on Facebook, how do they reach the Interfaith Food Pantry if they want to donate or become a volunteer like you wonderful people?
The best way is to either go on the website, which is mcifp.org, or to call the food pantry. The number at the food pantry is 973-538-8049. And Jane is the volunteer coordinator. And you know, if that's what you want to do, if you want to volunteer, if you want to donate food, you can come Monday through Thursday. And probably the best thing to do is call the pantry, and they'll tell you how to donate the food. Just drive through, and somebody takes it out of your car for you.
Well, that's why, and you should pass the test again. I have to say, you're a smart cookie.
You're not gonna find a failing here.
We're not gonna stump.
You're not gonna stump.
Maybe it's a possibility.
It's a possibility,
Chris,
but you're not gonna stump.
Chris is nailing everyone. She's passing the test.
Let me just reinforce the fact that we were talking earlier about how you get involved in volunteering, and you know, if you're thinking about how to do something like this, this is a great way to understand what it feels like. How to do it, what you might be able to do yourself, further define what your interests are and your capabilities are. This is a great organization.
I want to say last year, and that's, you know, the last year that we have numbers for, we had 271 staff volunteers. Staff volunteers are people who perform a regular job, like once a week or multiple times a week. They come in, they stock the shelves, they shop for the clients, they sort the food. They work in the warehouse. They donated over 20,000 hours, and that equates to 10 full-time positions that we would have to pay for if we didn't have those people. So, I mean, that's huge. And then we have a lot of people who come in through corporate groups and stuff, and it's just a one-off. But it's those staff volunteers. And we have home delivery, too. A lot of families like to do that because they can come in and shop and then deliver it to the people who they're who need food delivered.
Wonderful. And Jim, you know, so you've been involved. I mean, obviously, Chris inspired you and your family. And, you know, that's one of the things of a relationship, too, is, you know, people have unique qualities. And Chris brought out a lot in you about giving back in the volunteerism. What's your perspective when you're there, you know, rolling up your sleeves, you're helping out, being an active volunteer, and making a difference in people's lives? Because once again, that's what we like to explore on the show. What's it like to make a difference in someone's life?
Yeah, it's hard to explain. It's a wonderful feeling to get in there and be involved in a effort that you know is so important. Again, go back to, I like personal communication. I like looking in somebody's eye. And you can see, when you see these people, how grateful they are. These young women that drive through with a single, I'm making it up, but I'm assuming they're single mothers with a kid in the back seat. And they realize this is something that's really helped them out. This has really made a difference in their day. And it doesn't take a lot. But it's just such a tremendous feeling of satisfaction to know that you, through your efforts, have done something to make a little bit that person's life just a little bit easier. So, and it's also great fun working with these volunteers that Chris mentioned. These are incredibly dedicated, hardworking people. They're there every week, and to just sort of watch them and get involved, they'll guide you where you are needed. But it satisfies this desire to, you know, recognize what you've been given in your life and give something back, and that this tremendous personal satisfaction that you've been able to make a difference in somebody's life.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful thing. And once again, well, I was so honored and privileged that you were going to come on, both of you, and tell your story to inspire and motivate others, because I could see both of you, you know, you really are making a difference. Chris, you know, you have three kids and grandkids. What's it like as a parent and your children? Because I was reading too in advance, and so they're giving back too. They're involved. Now, because I'm a parent, we shared a little bit. I have two youngsters, and obviously I try to do my best to set an example. And it was my late dad's birthday yesterday, so I was thinking a lot about my late dad and my mom. I lost my mom a number of years too. But I always thought about the examples they set in my life and how it shaped me and who I am today, to be very grateful, to understand you have to pay it forward and help others. And I also realize all the satisfaction I get out of it. Chris, what's your perspective as a proud mom when your kids are involved and given back? What's it like?
I mean, we really enjoy it. So the kids have, over the years, gotten involved in volunteering with us. My grandkids, who the two older ones are now seniors in high school and going off to college. my daughter has three, the older daughter has three boys. They've been in every year packing these backpacks with us for the kids that don't want to shop for themselves. Our son actually went over, spent 7 years in Nepal. He thought he was going to spend 4 months and ended up spending 7 years there building a school.
Wow.
And met a wonderful Nepali woman, mm-hmm. and, who will be our daughter-in-law.
Oh, my goodness. What a love story.
Yes. Great story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been nothing but good.
Well, I mean, if you can, you see the look on the faces, I'm thinking about the grandkids when they do the backpacking. They're teenagers. How are you going to get them involved? Can you drag them over there? But now they're enthusiastic about it. And the sense of satisfaction, the sense of satisfaction they get from that is also just, it mirrors what we.
We actually started, I guess when our kids were probably, the two younger ones were in middle school. We started at the holidays, giving everybody a blank check for a certain amount of money, and they could designate what charity they wanted it to go to. So it actually got them looking up charities, thinking about things they were interested in. And initially, you know, one daughter was interested in drama, so it was drama for low-income kids. Our son was a soccer player, so it was soccer, you know. But then as they got older and more involved, it's gotten much more sophisticated. And then we do it with our grandkids now, too.
That's awesome.
We were deliberately trying to build a culture of understanding that you've got something that you can use to help other people. And they... They really got into it, looking up charities, understanding how you figure out whether this one is a good one or not. It's going to be where my donation is going to be valuable. So, yeah, it's been a good, again, I'll credit the leadership that Chris is providing here for that. So,
well, once again, well deserved. I have to talk about the turkey trot. What's the turkey trot about? Because I have my own turkey trot story, but I'm not going to trot it out yet. What goes on? You have the whole family out for like a turkey trot.
So on Thanksgiving morning at 8:20 or 8:30.
Very early in the morning.
The first year that they held it, our son, who's our youngest, was a freshman in college. And so he come back to town and went out with all his high school friends the night before. So, you know, we picked him up at the friend's house and, you know, still, you know.
It's a 5K run.
Yeah, it's
and
a 5K
so,
run.
So, yeah, he had a little tough time with the run.
But then over the years, as we had, you know, there's more kids in the family, everybody shows up. And, you know, it's hard to get out of bed on Thanksgiving morning. But everybody is...
Talk about how that's evolved from the time it started.
In terms of...
size.
Well, yeah, the first couple years it was 200, then 400. And now it's 2,500, 3,000.
Now this is through the Interfaith Food Pantry, right?
It benefits the Interfaith Food Pantry and the Literacy Society.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, the turkey trot, it's funny you bring up, you know, your son. I had some great friends I grew up with, and... They were high school runners. I played other sports. They were all on the cross country team. And I have to acknowledge the night before I probably wasn't training properly. So like, I know I have to do this, but I knew I was going to get like a cool pretty long, like it's like a t-shirt, but you know, it's a nice shirt. So I figured I'm going to get a shirt out of it. So I watched, you know, the New York Marathon, the Boston Marathon, and this is the first race I've ever been in my life, and there's going to be water stations. So I'm running. I have to look, I'm not showing up. I was running nice at a really good pace.
This is a 5K?
5K. It's turkey trot. All right. And what my buddies, I was out the night before feeling loose as a goose, getting up in the morning. Oh my God, I got to drive and I got to run. So I'm doing really well. I'm like staying up with my friends and they're really good runners. And there's a water station. So I go grab the water because I seen it on TV. I start choking. I have to stop running. I took like a 5-minute break. So let's just say I got the t-shirt out of it. That was my turkey trot story. I had to trot that one out. So, you know, Chris, in preparation, I read another wonderful quote from you. You were talking about your involvement as a wonderful example of how ordinary people working together can make an extraordinary difference in the lives of people who are going through difficult times or struggling just to have basic needs met. And that meant a lot to me, but you said ordinary people making extraordinary differences, but I think what you guys do are extraordinary and it goes to prove something. What does it mean to you?
I mean, I don't feel extraordinary. I feel ordinary. And, you know, the people that we work with who continue to impress us all the time, the community of people at the Interfaith Food Pantry, including, you know, the staff and the board and the volunteers and the clients, are this wonderful community of people with a kind of a shared mission. And, you know, you just kind of help where you can. And so I don't feel that
you don't feel extraordinary about it. People shouldn't feel, if they're thinking about volunteering, that you have to be some superstar. You're just looking at the needs in your community, your neighborhood. You don't have to help the whole state, the whole country, the whole world. Just one neighbor, one simple act.
I mean, and some people are like animal people. You know, there's so many wonderful charities for animals. I mean, some people know that housing is a real issue. So, you know, those are areas that you can get involved in. You know, like Habitat, you know, like some of the other housing organizations in Morris County. Whatever kind of speaks to you that, you know, because something's going to appeal differently to different people.
But that's, once again, why when I bring on so many diverse guests, it's amazing because they have different interests, different skills, different gifts. But it's interesting, whatever they pick, they put their heart and soul into it. And I agree, an ordinary person can make an extraordinary difference. I'm not saying that's not true, and I believe that.
Yeah.
But for people to take time out of their day is a really beautiful example of stepping up and doing something, whatever it is, whatever you're into. So, Jim, let me ask you this, a bit of a philosophical question. But, you know, it is Sunday morning, you know, and I'll throw it out to you. How do you feel it's changed your life overall, you know, in terms of your outlook on life, being involved in doing charitable things? Because you've been doing it for a long time now with your wife who started you more into it. But what do you think you've really gotten out of it? How do you think it's changed your life and your view of the world?
That's a good point. Good question. It's broadened me for certain. I mean, as we talked about the early stages of our lives and our careers, and you're busy and you're focused and you have kids, you got to get into school and, you know, things are going on with your job. It's very difficult to think about broader issues. But as you start to get involved with a group like the food pantry, and we talk all about the food pantry, there's many different groups like that. You realize that there's a bigger world out there and that you really have had some enormously wonderful opportunities in your life. You realize that it's important for you to do something with that. What are you going to do with this gift? I'm still consulting after 31 years in the pharmaceutical industry. Why am I doing that? Because you got a gift, you got something you can use to help make people's lives better through your efforts, and you're interested in it. It's something that's fun. So I think it's made me more introspective. It's made me more observant, maybe more empathetic. It's been a growing experience, and it's continuing. It's something that is continuing.
All right, Chris, so I have to ask you kind of a similar question. So, you know, Jim was not involved in giving back that much, and then you led him to obviously get involved, and you led by example. What are your observations in your life and how your relationship as a husband and wife has evolved because of this participation together? So that's a tough question, too, because I put Jim a little bit on the spot. Very good answer, sir. But I figure, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because we have some shared interests, and then we have interests that go in different directions. Jim's very interested in sustainability and the environment and everything. So he's also gotten involved in those kinds of charities and philanthropies and stuff there, and organizations where mine is more education, children, basic human services. So, you know, we kind of, we enjoy the Friday farmers markets a lot. But then we also, you know, each have our own.
No, look, in a marriage, look, everybody has to do their own thing. Totally got that. I was trying to just get a better feel of, like, how it's really helped your marriage and enhanced it, because you guys are doing something together, but it's not just for yourself. So, like, as a team, because I do believe, you know, marriages and relationships, it's a team effort. Yeah. It's a team effort. So what are your thoughts about that, Chris?
So, you know, especially since we have this time in our lives, you know, now that Jim is, you know, he's semi-retired and, you know, our lives aren't, you know, not actively parenting and stuff. It provides a wonderful focus for us to spend time together and do something that we enjoy.
Yeah, I'll go back to just to embellish that, the comment I made about dinners on Tuesday night, when she would do the intake, and she'd meet these clients, a whole spectrum of people that are just like us. And so it allowed us to have a conversation that we probably wouldn't have been having otherwise. And that deepens the relationship, I think.
Yeah. What about, you know, the concept of gratitude and a feel, not to be overly religious, but God's blessings to be able to lift up the folks, the downtrodden, the folks that are really do need that help, and that you're doing God's work. You're making a difference in lives. You're actually making a real difference. You know, how does that make you feel in terms of your gratitude? Plus, you're also realizing that could have been me. I could have been the one with the family. Now I'm out of a job, or some calamity happened, or you lost a spouse and you don't know where to go and you got a family. How does it make you feel, Jim, knowing you're doing that kind of also those wonderful works?
It's just, I mean, the feeling of gratitude is really important. That's what I mean when I talk about that we are blessed because of what we had. I'm incredibly grateful for that. And I can't tell you the number of people, the phrase that you just said, the number of people in these farmers markets, when they leave the line, will look me in the eye and say, oh, thank you, you're doing God's work.
It really is God's work.
And it just, it's as well, I'm just here helping distribute food, but it makes you feel.
And it doesn't matter what God you pray to, because there's a whole spectrum. One thing about the Todd Leonard Show, Journey of Giving God, I cover it all. I'm going to have a rabbi on soon with his lovely daughter. I'm trying to get, you know, local priest, pastor. I mean, you name it. Doesn't matter to me. As long as you're doing the right thing and God's work, it's fine.
It's a human effort, and you are helping out your community.
Right, you're lifting up people.
The Interfaith Food Pantry actually got started because four churches in the area had, you know, little pantries in their basements, and it was canned goods and rice, things like that. And they decided if they combined it, you know, maybe they could serve more people. And so it's grown from that to what it is now, where we're, you know, we have 5,000 clients. We're, you know, it's, we're right now, as all the benefits from COVID are being stopped, we're finding that we're getting a lot more clients.
Yeah. I mean, you also, folks like you help the organization grow. So once again, a shout out to the Interfaith Food Pantry. I had folks on from the Ray of Hope, Heidi and Deanie. These ladies were really remarkable. And they would help feed the hungry. They would go into the inner cities. They're attractive, very lovely ladies. And they would go in with the van and just feed the poor. And I was like, that is so incredibly awesome to me that they're out there doing this, rolling up their sleeves. And you guys do the same thing, what you and your husband and your family and all these wonderful volunteers, because you're helping the clients. You're giving them a leg up, a hand up. And also, it shows them you're treating them with dignity and respect. The other thing that I want to talk about briefly is Neighbors Helping Neighbors Award. Because when I was getting ready for the show, and I was like, you know, some, we're all neighbors. You know, I grew up in Springfield. I knew my neighbors. And if something was going on in the neighborhood, I knew what was up. And then they knew what was up. If someone needed something, we were always there. If there, God forbid, there was a tragedy, we pulled together. As I've gotten older, I've noticed there's kind of a drifting apart of the neighbors and the neighborhood. A new neighborhood used to move in, you go introduce yourself. Now people move in and they're like strangers. They don't even know these people. So what is your perspective, Jim? You're getting a very prestigious award, Neighbors Helping Neighbors, through the Interfaith Food Pantry. And once again, that's a blessing. And I know you guys are very humble. But what does it mean to you that you're going to get this award?
So first of all, let me make it perfectly clear. This award is about Chris. He's the one who started in our family. I hope I've made that clear. I've been inspired by it. I've been supporting of it. And I now am getting much more involved with it. So I don't want this to be about me. This is about her. But it is a humbling award. I mean, when they asked Chris whether or not we would be willing to participate this way, we both said, well, see, that's really not us. We're happy doing what we're doing. We don't need the award, but it's humbling. Hopefully it's a way through what you're doing right here to get the message out about what the food pantry does.
And if we could encourage other people to jump in, I mean, that's kind of like why we're doing this. And, you know, we just, anybody can do it, and you know it really changes your life.
Yeah. So Chris and Jim, obviously, and rightfully so. I mean, you've been involved longer in the organization, but you guys have both been a wonderful team. But for you, and since 2005, and now like 18 plus years, you're there doing it, and I can see how engaged you are, using your keen intellect, but your heart, to help others and grow the organization through amongst so many wonderful volunteers. What's it going to mean to you at the Birchwood Manor on April 21st when they hand you this award, Neighbors Helping Neighbors? What's that going to mean to you?
You know, when I look out at the faces of these people that I've known for all these years, I'm going to be grateful to them and for them being in my lives. You know, I feel like I'm only one little cog in this wheel that's, you know, making the food pantry run, you know, and Jim too. It's just, it's an amazing organization.
It's been a great journey.
So, Jim, before we part this, I think, you know, very important show, any advice for the listeners regarding giving back? Because we went on the journey this morning. Thank you again. But any last parting thoughts for the listeners and viewers?
So just follow your heart. I think as people grow older, as your lives, you get a different perspective in your life, you realize that there's a lot more out there for you, and you can do things with your experience, irrespective of where. You don't have to have millions of dollars. You can do this very simply. And so I put on my background to you, jump in, the water's fine. Chris thought that was a little too flippant, but it is. It's fun doing this. It's fun to do this.
Well,
it's
awesome.
Very rewarding.
God bless you for everything you've done. And Chris, in like 30 seconds or so, any advice before we conclude this great show?
You know, especially for people who have times during their lives. You know, I have all these friends that can't wait to retire, but they really haven't thought about what retirement looks like. And it's so wonderful because at the pantry, you know, the warehouse is almost totally staffed by recent retirees who have found this wonderful network of, you know, other recent retirees. And, you know, if so they're bonding with other people, they're doing good, and they're making a difference in
the world. Well, listen, God bless both of you again, and it means the world you came on. So for the listeners and viewers, remember, we all are all in this together. We can make a big difference. Regular folks just rolling up their sleeves, jumping in the water. The water's fine. If you don't like the water, find another place to jump into, but you'll find your spot in life. Remember, neighbors helping neighbors, that's all of us. We're all one big neighborhood. Never forget that. Go say hello to your neighbor if they move in. If something's going on, lift them up. And never forget, each day's a blessing. Never forget to pay it forward. God bless, and please tune in next week. Take care.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.